103 versus 105, and it seems like that's been coming up a number of times lately. I believe Kathy mentioned it of late. Kim, I think, alluded to it as well. And actually, I've been sitting on that for about over a month now, trying to develop a word from what God spoke to me. And this was one of the scriptures related to what he spoke. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me bless his holy name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So as I said, for more than a month, I've been thinking about this word. God began to speak to me when I was in prayer, and as I was repenting for my shortcomings and my sin, and asking him for forgiveness. And his response impacted me in a way I hadn't anticipated. And this is the word that he spoke. I am the God who keeps covenant. As I was bearing my heart and repenting and asking his forgiveness, this is what he said. I am the God who keeps covenant. And there are a number of times in the Old Testament where that it says that, he says that. Deuteronomy 7:9 is one of those times. Rich, I don't have all these scriptures. I'll be mentioning other scriptures as we go for your notes. But that's one of the references where he spoke that. And I understood what he meant about covenant relationship that he has with me and with all of us who call upon the name of the Lord, you and I. He's made a covenant. And it's not dependent on my relationship with him being perfect or sinless. Rather, there was little or almost nothing I could do that would result in him breaking his covenant with me. Now, by definition, covenant takes two. Without two, there's no covenant. And so God does his part, and if we're going to stay in covenant with him and not break covenant, we need to do our part. And sometimes that's not easy, is it? Because we mess up, we fall short, we don't feel like doing maybe something that the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do, speaking to that person or asking forgiveness from someone. Yet those are all essential things in covenant, because we need to do that with the Lord God himself. So I was thinking about the song, Grace That Is Greater Than My Sin. And the chorus is, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin, my sin. And that's the covenant-keeping God. He keeps extending us grace when we don't deserve it. He keeps that covenant in spite of us not being perfect and falling short and messing up, making mistakes. And I was getting a number of images when I was preparing this. And one of them, and Roger can explain this a lot better than I can about welding. And there's an aspect of, one of the aspects of if you weld something together, if you weld two pieces together, they then, once the process is complete, they function as one piece. It's no longer two, but once they're welded, and God does that with covenant, once they're fused, if you will, together, they become one. And so when we come into covenant with Him, we become one with Him. And it's a very, very beautiful image, because God is that which keeps us held together. And I think, if I'm correct, Roger, the only way to reverse that process once the thing is welded is extreme heat. And so when we are under pressure, when we are under the gun, we can sometimes choose to step out from under that covenant. But God's still there. He doesn't break the covenant with us, even though sometimes when we're under pressure, we do things or we say things that we should not do or say. The other image, which was actually Thanksgiving Day, I was, my son, the kids were wanting to play horsey. He wanted to ride on Dad's back, which he somehow wiggled out of. Maybe too much turkey in his belly. But so I got the idea that because he was not doing it, I what I did was I captured my grandkids and I said, "You're in my corral." I was capitalizing on the horse theme, and I said, "You're under my control now. You're in my corral, and I'm not going to let you out." And that's covenant. That's another picture of covenant. And of course they're wiggling and giggling and squirming to get out. And you know, eventually I let them out because I was going to bruise them or hurt them. And God will let you out. When you choose to rebel, when you choose to be disobedient, He will let you go your own way. And it's not pretty, is it? We've all been there. We've all done that. But again, God doesn't leave the covenant. He's still there. The corral, the invitation for covenant is still there. He's still extending His love and His hand and His embrace to us. He has a hold on us. And I was thinking of that song, Rich, you know that. "You really got a hold on me." From way back in the, don't want to know what that year was. But that's Him. That's God. He's really got a hold on you. And you can get out from under it. But you really shouldn't. Because it's a hold of love and protection and for your good, not for your harm. So you can say the message today is God keeps covenant, or you can choose what Psalms 103 says in verse 2, forget none of His benefits. His benefits are part of the covenant He makes with us. And by definition, that word benefit there in the Old Testament means a dealing, a benefit, a recompense, from a word that means to deal fully or adequately with, to wean, to ripen, to reward, or to grant something. I love it when a plan comes together. So what are, this is certainly not an exhaustive list here, and actually there are more things if you read the whole Psalm 103. But what are some of the benefits? Number one, he pardons you, or he pardons your iniquities or your sin, from verse 3. Excuse me. And he pardons all your sins without exception. And Isaiah 55:7 says, for he will abundantly pardon. Let him return to the Lord. See, that's our part of covenant. When we stray, when we come out from under that canopy of protection and under his authority, we have to return. It's called repenting. That's literally what repenting means to turn. Stop going where you're going, stop doing what you're doing, and turn to him. And so he will abundantly pardon when we return to him. Psalms 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon thee. And so for our part, we have to come, we have to call, we have to talk to him. You know, sometimes those of you who have kids, the kids don't want to talk. Even my grandkids, I say, well, talk to me. Why, you know, I can see you're not, you know, happy, you're upset or this, but let's talk. And we need to do that with the Lord, to be open and honest. As Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And one of the things my grandchildren like to do in that second classroom is there's a whole bunch of markers and an erasable board. And they'll write and then they'll erase. They'll write again or draw a picture and they'll erase. And the thing is, they can't get back what was erased. It's gone. And when God erases your sin, he says, I don't remember it. It's not there anymore. It's not like it's hidden or covered. When he forgives, he forgives. It's unconditional. That's the kind of agape love that he is. That's who he is. He is love. And so you and I need to turn our hearts toward him and experience true cleansing and forgiveness. And Isaiah 1, the whole chapter, talks about this concept, but verse 18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though red like crimson, they will be like wool. And it's talking about wool that is washed white there. And so only God can bring about that transformation. In the carnal natural mind, you think applying the blood means it's going to be red. No, he says it cleanses. The blood cleanses. It purifies. It makes as white as snow. And only God can do that. Only God can give you and I a clean slate. But it's up to us to come, to turn. Let's reason with the Lord. Let's talk about this. Why did this happen? Why did you do that? Why do I do things sometimes? Do you do things and not understand why you do them? I do. That happens to me. And so the Lord says, let's work this out. Let's reason together here. He's a God who keeps covenant and he pardons. Number two, verse three, he heals. He heals our diseases. Exodus 15:26. I, the Lord, am your healer. Or King James or New King James says, I am the one who heals you. Psalms 41:3. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, thou dost restore him to health. Sometimes God's timetable is not immediate. And the tendency is to question him or be disappointed. Why isn't it happening? Why am I not being healed? But it's in that process of turning to the Lord that God does his finest work. And he may reveal things to us, and he quite often does in this process of waiting when we're not immediately healed. Or why, you know, sometimes I say, why did I even get sick? Which is a very rare thing, by the way. Thank you, Lord. My wife wanted me to get a flu shot this year because of our new granddaughter, and I said, well, I'm not going to get the flu. Amen? So why do I need a flu shot? You make your own choice. I'm not saying you have to not get a flu shot. I would never say that. But for me, I'm not getting a flu shot because I am not getting the flu. I say it in Jesus' name. Psalms 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. Again, you see it? You're communicating. There's an exchange. There's a fellowship. There's a conversation going on between the father and his kids. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5. Surely our griefs he bore, Jesus, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging or by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. To his glory and for his glory. So the provision of his death and sacrifice on the cross was and is salvation, deliverance, and healing. You know, so often we say, well, he died for our sin or our sins on the cross, and we leave out the healing part. That's a very, very important part of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He bore our sin, and he took the stripes for our healing also. So we need to believe him to heal and believe him for faith to heal, because, you know, hey, life is rough, and you don't always feel like a powerhouse of I've got the word of healing. I've got the faith to heal. So you have to ask the Lord, give me the faith. If you're at that point, you ask for faith. You ask for more faith, and he'll give it. Often, though, it's not as we expect or how we expect. God's going to do it, or God's going to answer us. But we still need to believe him or ask him for faith in our prayer for healing and for healing and to heal. Sometimes it's for ourselves, and sometimes it's for others. God keeps covenant with you and I, and he heals. And two scriptures to study there, Colossians, you don't have these, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, do unto the Lord with all your might, basically. And Acts 3 and verses 6 and 16, where the lame beggar gets healed, and the famous words, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have, I give you in the name of the Lord, rise and be healed. Number three, an aspect of his covenant, he redeems. He redeems your life, it says there in verse 4. He redeems your life from the pit. The Passion renders that, he rescued me from hell. It's talking about a literal hell there. Sheol, some of your translations may say, or the netherworld. It's talking about what we term or think of as hell. So he redeemed your life from destruction and from hell. Psalms 49, verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, or the power of hell, death, and the grave. Psalms 16:10. For thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One, Jesus, to undergo decay. Another verse to study, Psalms 56:13, and then Psalms 40, verses 1 to 2. Do you have that one, Rich? I'm not sure. Psalms 40, 1 to 2. It says there, he brought me out of the pit and he set my feet upon a rock. We know that rock. That's the one that keeps us in covenant. And in the New Testament, Titus chapter 2, the end of verse 13 and into 14, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. So we need to receive his power to redeem in every struggle that we face, every life situation that we can't seem to get past or conquer. He is the answer to that, and he has the power that you and I can overcome those things. Everything that's impossible in your life, he is mighty to save. That's my story. It should be all of our stories. He is mighty to save. And he's mighty also to the tearing down of strongholds. That's another verse in the New Testament. He's the God who keeps covenant, and he redeems. He redeems. It's most of the time, you know what that word redeems means? To buy back. Like the kinsman redeemer. That's the same word in the book of Ruth. That's what it means. It's to purchase, to buy back, to redeem. Just like when you go to the grocery machine and you get your 5 cents back for those cans and bottles. You're redeeming your money that you already spent. Well, he's redeeming your soul and your life. Number four, from verse 4. He crowns you. Not in a bad sense. You know, sometimes it can mean, I'm going to crown you, you little brat. It means you're going to get what you deserve. Well, I'm glad that I didn't get what I deserved. How about you? He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Ooh, that's kind of a different kind of crown, isn't it? Loving kindness and compassion. Part of his covenant keeping with you and I. Psalms 5:12. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man. O Lord, thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield. And I checked the passion there. How wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps round each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy. You know, it's just only the Lord can envelop us in that way. And I'm not talking about just when, you know, you're getting goosebumps and everything is rosy. I'm talking about being a shield when you're facing stuff, when you have to make some hard choices and hard decisions in life. He's there to be a shield, to crown us with his loving kindness and compassion and give us direction on how to navigate those circumstances. You have his favor. Sometimes we don't think so. Why? Because we don't feel it. But you have his favor. You can't fall out of his favor. You know, you may do or say something to me and you can, uh-oh, Pastor didn't like that. I can tell by his expression or how he's treating me now. He didn't appreciate that. But you can't fall out of God's favor that way. It just can't happen. It's impossible because of who he is. He's a covenant-keeping God. James 1:12. He will give you the crown of life that was promised to those who love him. But we have to persevere. We have to keep moving. We have to keep going. We have to keep in the race. Keep reaching forward, it says in Philippians. Two other verses for study. 2 Timothy 4:8. 1 Peter 5:4. So I would say we need to wear that crown of loving kindness and compassion that he bestows upon us. And then we need to share that very love and compassion with a world that's desperate for answers when we have the answer. His name is Jesus. And so we have to extend that, his love, his agape love, his kindness and compassion to those we don't feel that, we don't feel it. I'm not feeling it. You ever said that? You know what that expression means. You don't want to do it. You should really, that's the long and the short of it. You want to wiggle out when God says, no, you need to do it. I've ordained this person in your life, this inconvenience, this difficulty, this struggle. You know, it can even be, as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron between brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have to get through it. And we have to draw upon his kindness and compassion. Because he is a God who keeps covenant. He doesn't abandon us when we need him. He doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't conveniently disappear like sometimes people can do. He's always there. What's the song? Praise the Lord. He never changes. He's never any other way. He crowns us with favor and blessings. And number 5 from verse 5, he satisfies you. Ah! He satisfies you. Your years with good things. Some of you had that satisfaction after the Thanksgiving meal. You were like, oh! But this, the Lord's satisfaction is a whole lot different than that. He He really satisfies the deepest needs that you and I have. He satisfies your years or your desires with good things. Psalms 107, verse 9. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry he has filled with what is good. That's not just talking about food. It's talking about spiritual hunger. It's talking about getting the answers we need when we don't have the answer. Figuring something out when we can't figure it out. He has the answer. Psalms 36, 8 and 9. I just love this verse. Just so speaks of who God is, that covenant God that keeps covenant with you and I. Psalms 36, verse 8 and 9. Talking about you and I. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. See, that's where life's answers come, when we come to Him, when we come into His presence, when we stay under that canopy of His favor and blessing. Not when we're doing our own thing. Not when we disobey. Not when we decide we're going to take a side trip. You don't want to hear that the Holy Spirit say, stay on the assigned route, or whatever the GPS thing says. That's annoying. I don't like hearing that when I decide I'm going to go another way in the car. Are you like that? Like, no, I'm going that way. Don't you? I start talking to that voice. Well, you can't talk back to the, well, you can talk back to the Holy Spirit, but I wouldn't advise it. When he says stay to the assigned route, you don't want to have him say recalculate. Because you know what recalculate means? He's going to take you another way to still accomplish the work of God. And usually that's a harder way. That second route is not as easy as if we just did it the way God was asking us to do it, or to say what God asked us to say. Psalm 63, verses 4 and 5, satisfies with fatness. I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name, the psalmist said. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. That word for fatness in the Old Testament is often translated oil. So think about it. The oil. God pours the oil on us. As long as we stay there, as long as we're under that canopy, he will satisfy our years and desires with good things. Also, Psalm 65, 4, for your notes. He is the God of more than enough. And we sing a song that, with the lyrics, but I was thinking of Kim Rocker Smith, I think, sings a song with those lyrics also. That's truth. He is the God of more than enough. For whatever you're going to face, even today, tomorrow, he's sufficient. He's got it all. He's got the answers that you and I need. You know, I was thinking, and this is, if you didn't have an Italian mother, but you know what an Italian mother does, you can appreciate this. for so many times, that whether it was Thanksgiving or Christmas, that when my mom was alive, you know, she always served me twice as much as I could possibly eat. And then she's coming over with the dish to give me more. You had enough? Huh? Have you had enough? The first time Kathy and I went over for dinner, I'm not joking, I'm not exaggerating, Kathy will verify this. She gave her a piece of lasagna like this. I mean, it was enough for three people. And Kathy just looked at it like, you think I'm going to eat this? Of course, she didn't say that, but have you had enough? He's the God of more than enough. Because he's the God who, what? Keeps covenant with you and I. He satisfies you with himself. And he fulfills your life. And I was getting a song towards the end yesterday when I was finishing this up. It's an oldie, and, you know, worship team, you'll have to pardon me. I do bring up the old ones every now and then, too. It comes from Psalms 72, verses 18 and 19. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, who only doeth wondrous things. Bless his glorious name forever. That's the God I know and love. He does wondrous things for me. I probably could fill a book of the things that, even the things that I, just the things I'm aware of. And there are other things that I'm not aware of that God did. Things he protected me from, things he saved me from. Because of his kindness and his mercy and his love and compassion. You have to understand he is the God who keeps covenant. He is a covenant-keeping God. And you wouldn't press the panic button when you don't have the right answer. When you're at a loss, you wouldn't say, what am I going to do now? Where are you now, Lord? Because he is a God who keeps covenant. Blessed be his name. So I hope that's something for you to think about, as some of you will be home all day tomorrow too because of the storm. Just meditate on these things. And there are others right in Psalm 103. There are more things if you keep going. He performs righteous deeds there in verse 6 and so forth. He lets you in on his ways, so forth and so forth. So God bless you for coming today. Don't panic. You still have plenty of time to get your